If I were to ask you who's in charge, you might properly respond, over what, where, under what circumstances. If I were to be more specific and ask who is absolutely in charge over all things entirely and exclusively, the only possible answer to that question is our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 that the Lord God put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The God-man, the mediator, is the Father's gift to the church. All that he is and all that he has is for the sake of his people. As the glorified mediator, he is where he is and what he is for their sakes. And Paul is emphasizing here not just that he is the head of his church, that is absolutely true and included in what's being said, but that he is head over all things to the church. He has been made head over all by divine appointment. He is, as we've said, the Father's gift in this role, the God-man reigning on high, the last Adam with absolute dominion over all his creatures. All has been made under his feet. He has been made over all. When he said in Matthew chapter 28 to his disciples before the ascension, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," he was not boasting. It was not an empty statement. It was certainly not high-flown rhetoric. It was a simple truth that having risen from the grave, he had been set in the highest place and every name was under him. That's an act of divine might and divine kindness. And then Paul makes sure we understand that he's head over all. And he has already said that it's a name that he has that is above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. No matter how far you go in time and space, the range and the scope, the degree, the extent of the absolute supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a universal dominion. Nothing is excluded. The angels, most willingly, even the demons, though unwillingly, even the devil himself, are instruments and means whereby God will accomplish his purposes in Christ Jesus. The worst and the darkest schemes, and the Ephesian believers would have known about those things, are still governed by Christ in order to accomplish his purposes. Willingly or not, readily or otherwise, all are made to serve his great ends. And that great end is particularly to or for the church. The triumph that Christ has won and the work that Christ does is for his people. He rules as Redeemer on behalf of his saints. He is head over all things as an absolute king, but he has a particular regard, if we can say it this way, to his bride, his queen, the church of Jesus Christ. His dominion is with an eye to the complete and final salvation of all his elect ones. And that means that the church in its entirety, all his redeemed people, each particular church, those who are called out from the world to God and gathered together, and every member of each of those churches, all of them may be considered individually and in their entirety the apple of the eye of Jesus Christ, so that the hand which holds the world and which governs everything that takes place cradles the church. The heart which governs all things beats with love for his own people, so that everything must cooperate to secure our present holiness and our ultimate happiness. And that means that we should be comforted, and that means that we should take confidence to consider that what takes place not just around us, but even to us, is under the government of our loving God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and then to go to him as he sits upon the throne and to ask him that he would extend his kingdom, glorify the name of his Father, accomplish all his purposes, and that he would continue to bring us, to keep us, and to guide us to the glory which he has prepared for us.